Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a concise documentary volume associated with Eleanor Roosevelt and the Books of American Wisdom series. Rather than presenting a narrative or argumentative essay, it centers on the text of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the landmark United Nations document adopted in 1948 after World War II. Roosevelt, who chaired the UN Human Rights Commission, was a central figure in its drafting and promotion. And this edition frames the Declaration as both a historical artifact and a moral statement about human dignity. The book is best understood as a primary source collection for readers who want direct access to the language and purpose of the UDHR, including its emphasis on quality, freedom from discrimination, and the protection of civil, political, economic, social, and cultural rights. Its value lies in presenting a foundational international document in an accessible format while highlighting Roosevelt's role in making human rights a global public concern. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the UDHR as a foundational statement of universal rights. The core of the book is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights itself, a document that sets out a broad framework of rights claimed for every person simply by virtue of being human. This makes the volume different from a conventional history book because the text is not primarily interpretive. It is a source document meant to be read directly. The Declaration covers freedoms from arbitrary treatment, protections for personal security, and guarantees tied to political participation, legal equality, and social well-being. Its importance lies in its attempt to define human rights in universal rather than local or national terms. In practical terms, this gives readers a baseline for understanding modern rights language in constitutions, court decisions, and advocacy work. The book, therefore, functions as both a historical record and a reference point for how the international community articulated human dignity after the devastation of World War II. Secondly, Eleanor Roosevelt's leadership in turning principle into international consensus. A major dimension of the book is Eleanor Roosevelt's role as chairwoman of the UN Human Rights Commission and as the public face of the drafting effort. Her influence matters because the Declaration was not simply written and adopted in a vacuum. It required political negotiation, disciplined language, and the ability to build agreement across different nations and ideological positions. Roosevelt's contribution is remembered for helping keep the text clear, direct, and morally forceful, which is important in a document intended to speak to governments and ordinary citizens alike. Her role also shows how international law can emerge through sustained diplomacy rather than through abstract ideals alone. For readers, this aspect of the book highlights that human rights norms are created through institutions, advocacy, and compromise. It also situates Roosevelt as more than a symbolic figure. She was an active organizer whose leadership helped transform a post-war moral concern into a globally recognized declaration. Thirdly, a post-war response to atrocity and the need for legal protection. The historical setting of the book is essential to understanding its significance. The Declaration arose in the aftermath of World War II, when the scale of mass violence, persecution, and state abuse made it difficult to rely on national sovereignty alone as a safeguard for human dignity. The book therefore reflects a global attempt to prevent future atrocities by naming rights that should not depend on geography, regime type, or citizenship status. This context gives the Declaration its urgency. It was designed as a moral and legal answer to the failures that allowed widespread suffering to occur. Readers can see why the language of the document stresses dignity, equality, and protection from discrimination. The book is valuable because it shows how human rights became a modern international project, not just a philosophical idea. It clarifies that the UDHR was meant to establish a standard against which governments could be judged, even if enforcement remained limited in practice. Fourthly, the gap between declaration and enforcement. Another important theme is the difference between proclaiming rights and actually securing them. The UDHR is powerful as a statement of principles, but it is not a self-enforcing law. That limitation is central to understanding both the book and the history of human rights more broadly. The text can inspire constitutions, treaties, and activism, but implementation depends on political will, institutions, and citizen pressure. This makes the book especially useful for readers who want to understand why human rights are often celebrated rhetorically, yet inconsistently protected in reality. The Declaration establishes standards, but it does not by itself solve problems of discrimination, repression, or unequal access to justice. By presenting the text in a compact form, the book invites readers to think about the distance between ideals and enforcement. That tension is not a weakness of the volume. It is one of its most important lessons, because it shows that human rights require continual legal and civic maintenance. Lastly, a practical reference for education, advocacies, and civic understanding. The book is also significant as a teaching and reference tool because it presents the Declaration in a direct and accessible form It is well suited to classrooms, human rights education, civic studies, and introductory legal or historical research. Readers interested in activism can use it to understand the vocabulary and structure of rights claims, while students can trace how ideas about dignity and equality were codified into an international standard. The volume also has value for policymakers and general readers who want a compact way to engage with a document that continues to shape global discussions of justice. Its multilingual or documentary presentation, in some editions, reinforces the idea that the Declaration was meant for an international audience, not a narrow specialist readership. As a result, the book stands at the intersection of history, law, and ethics, offering a practical way to study the language that underpins modern rights discourse without requiring a large secondary literature. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want direct access to one of the most important documents in modern international history. Students of history, political science, law, and human rights will find it useful as a primary source, and general readers will appreciate its clarity and brevity. It offers practical benefits as a reference for understanding how concepts such as dignity, equality, non-discrimination, and freedom from fear became part of global civic language. It also has intellectual value, because it shows how a post-war moral vision was translated into a formal declaration with lasting influence on national constitutions, international law, and advocacy movements. What distinguishes this volume from similar books is its documentary focus. Instead of interpreting the UDHR at length, it allows the text itself to remain central while associating it with Eleanor Roosevelt's leadership and historical significance. That makes it especially useful for readers who want the source material first rather than a later commentary on it. In that sense, the book is both a historical artifact and a working introduction to the foundations of modern human rights thought. If you would like to support Eleanor Roosevelt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.